It was almost 6.5 years ago that an event occurred that was one of the more strategic events in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's been forgotten. Some of you possibly may remember the name, but so oftentimes, some of the most strategic things that happen at the moment do not seem to be the most important. It was an event where the itinerant evangelists from 180 countries were invited to come to Amsterdam in 1986. Harriet and I had the privilege of being a part of a team. There were large numbers of people who went. The truth of the scripture that says, every knee shall bow and every tongue, every tribe shall be represented in the kingdom of God. And they came. And they came to gain encouragement. They came to gain training. They came to gain materials, anything they could to go back to their country, so that they could help reach their fellow countrymen for Jesus Christ. They came from communist countries. They came from places like Nepal, where if you speak the name of Jesus Christ, you can be thrown into prison. And incidentally, we know that four of those people who came from Nepal, when they got back into Nepal, within 1 week, they were in prison for preaching Jesus Christ. Problem is, they were so vocal about their faith that they led all the prisoners in the prison to Christ. So they moved them to another prison. Exactly what they wanted. They led all of them to Christ. They moved them to another prison and they led all of them to Christ. And finally they decided there was no sense in keeping them in prison. There were thousands of needs. We had the opportunity to be in some of the counseling aspect of it. And out of the thousands of needs there were, and the few people that we had a chance to deal with, one man stood out. His name was James. And James was from Sierra Leone. And James came, and James had one clear need. He said, is there any possible way you could help me get a motorcycle? And that's it. He didn't ask for anything else. He said, I just want a motorcycle. And I said, James, why do you want a motorcycle? And he said, right now, he said, in 1 year's time, I can walk to 80 villages to share Jesus Christ. But if I had a motorcycle, I could go to hundreds. And he said, you don't understand, in the far north of Sierra Leone, there are hundreds of thousands and millions of people, most of them Muslim, but only by name, and they've never heard of Jesus Christ. Harriet and I discussed that need. We were greatly touched by that, and we came back home at that time living in Chattanooga. And we began to talk about that fellow. It just wouldn't leave our hearts. And some other people got interested, and they said, well, what can we do? How can we get a motorcycle to him? Well, it's one thing for us to go out and purchase a motorcycle, but in an African country, that's not so easy. Number one, the price is multiplied. What would cost hundreds of dollars here costs thousands of dollars there. Plus, it has to be shipped in. Plus, you have to go through all of the red tape of the government wanting to know why this motorcycle is coming in. And we begin to proceed. It took 8 months for us to get a motorcycle to James. He promptly went out and broke his leg. We didn't hear from him for a while. We forgot about getting him lessons. But the last we heard of him, he said, you cannot imagine what God is doing. He said, I can drive the motorcycle into a village. He said, first of all, they've never seen a motorcycle, and that draws their attention. But he said, I pull into the center of the village and the people are afraid. Only the little children will come out, and I sit down and I begin to talk about the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the adults will lean close to the door to hear and slowly begin to emerge. And he said, there are thousands coming to Jesus Christ. All because of one little motorcycle. What seemingly was an insignificant request became something that God wanted to use in a greater way than we can ever imagine. Today we come to a text of Scripture which frankly seems like a very insignificant event. Most of us, if we were to talk about Bartimaeus, would not even begin to know where to look in the Scripture. In some passages, this is repeated in all three Gospels. Some passages, his name is not even given. But here is an event that gets overshadowed. He's in Jericho, and typically when we think of Jericho, we think of Zacchaeus, and that event occurred simultaneously at this time. But this event is tucked strategically into the Scriptures. In the other passages, the other Gospels, you see it even more clearly because the very next thing that happens following this blind man's healing is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because you see, Jericho was just a half a day's walk, maybe a three quarters of a day walk, all uphill, by the way. The same area where the Samaritan found the fellow that had been beaten that we talked about in previous weeks. And something very big is going on here, and yet when we read the passage, it seems so small. Let's step back and put ourselves in the shoes of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is a man who had an obvious need. He was blind. He had a friend, Matthew tells us. And they would come and they would sit beside the road and they would beg. And it was important to get out early in the morning to get a good place on the road because the road was quite busy from Jericho to Jerusalem. And they would make their way down early in the morning to try to get to a good seat because it was only there that they could get some attention as they were begging. And you know, what was hard for Bartimaeus was not so much that he was blind. Oh, that was very difficult to get along, being a blind person. What was hard for him was not because he was looked down upon, because he was seen as a low-class citizen, as a beggar. He had gotten used to that. What was hard for him was not for the fact that he had learned to live in a life of poverty. He had begun to accept that as well. But you see, what was most hard for Bartimaeus to accept was the fact that he had once seen. Mark tells us that when Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do?" he says, "Lord, that I may regain my sight." Even though Luke doesn't pass that detail on to us. And here is Bartimaeus, a man, we don't know how long he had been blind, but if you've ever had something and then had it taken away, and it's possible to get it back, it's that much more powerful and meaningful to you. If you've never had it and you don't know what you've missed or what you've lost, it's not quite the same thing. But here is Bartimaeus sitting on this road. And on this particular day, it is very, very busy. As a matter of fact, the traffic is growing by the minute. Well, it's a week before Passover, very close to where we are in our own timing as we approach Easter. And the road was busy because people were going to pass over. But for some reason or other, he sensed that there were a lot more people. There was a lot more activity. There was a lot more things happening that day. And so finally, he finally decided to ask, what is all the noise? Where's everybody going? What is happening? And people ignored him, and the noise began to increase. It's one thing to be blind when it's calm, but it's another thing to be blind in the midst of lots of confusion and lots of noise. And so he finally begins to reach out and to grab someone to say, what is happening? What is happening? And at that moment, he heard something that for however long he had been blind, he wanted to hear more than anything else in his life. And someone said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And Bartimaeus, realizing he had heard of Jesus, many passerbyers, many travelers had talked to him about Jesus. And Bartimaeus knew that if he ever had an opportunity to regain his sight, this might be his opportunity. Because he had heard that Jesus had healed the blind. And so he begins to cry out and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And at that moment, we are told that the crowd told him to be quiet. They said, get out of the way, old blind man. And they told him to be quiet and get behind. But Bartimaeus hollered out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then we're told that someone came and very specifically, very pointedly, sternly rebuked him and told him to shut up. Now at that moment, Bartimaeus is thinking to himself, you know, life is hard and you do get opposition, but maybe there's some reason for this. Maybe there's something going on here that I don't know. And the temptation was to back down. And the noise is growing and the crowd is growing and Jesus is closely approaching. And finally at that moment, Bartimaeus makes a decision that was the most important decision he ever made. And that was, I will not be quiet. I am going to seize this opportunity. You see, it's very possible that he could have said, well, Jesus has been to Jericho. Maybe he'll come back. I mean, it's Passover. Maybe he'll come back after Passover. But little did he know that with a matter of days, Jesus would be dead. And Jesus was never coming back to Jericho again. But he decided, this is my opportunity. And so he began to shout out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he continued to cry it out. And at that moment, we're told, Jesus stopped the crowd. Now, people called out to Jesus all the time. Can you imagine yourself being Jesus? Can you imagine yourself going anywhere? Can you imagine the throngs of people who were trying to crowd in and get close to you and touch you? Can you imagine people who were trying to get your attention, hoping just to get a miracle or just to see a miracle? But Jesus heard something. He heard something he had not heard. But very, very few times, he heard the voice of faith. Very much like on the Sea of Galilee as he was walking up to the house of the royal official. And people are pressing on him and something like this. And he says, wait a minute, who touched me? And you can hear the disciples saying, Lord, are you nuts? Who touched you? They're all touching you. And Jesus said, no, there is one who touched me. And he recognized the touch of faith. And he pointed out the old woman who had suffered for years. And he said, woman, your faith has made you well. See, he knew the difference. How did Jesus know the difference in the voice of Bartimaeus? He knew the difference because Bartimaeus called him something that nobody else called him. Bartimaeus called him by his true name. Bartimaeus called him Son of David, which was tantamount to saying, Messiah, Son of God, Anointed One, King. And everyone knew by using that term what Bartimaeus meant. It's very possible that those who sternly rebuked him could have been some of the religious leaders who were walking along, and they didn't like what he was saying because they didn't want Jesus being called Messiah, Son of God. And yet, Jesus heard the voice of faith. And he comes back and he says, Bartimaeus. And in one of the other passages, someone says to him, Bartimaeus, come, the teacher is calling you. And it says that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and ran to Jesus, even as a blind man. And I love Jesus' response. Mark tells us Jesus had compassion on him. And he asks him the most critical question that any of us could be asked. He said, Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do for you? Now, don't you think it was pretty obvious? Don't you think it was obvious? Jesus knew here's a blind beggar. But you see, Jesus never makes an assumption. As a matter of fact, he gives us exactly what we ask for. And I've learned in life that I need to be very careful for what I ask. And Bartimaeus says, Oh Lord, I want my sight. He knew. And Jesus heals him on the spot. Receive your sight. Now here's the greater question. The greater question is this. For most of us, it's not the physical infirmity. But for most of us, it goes the step deeper. It's the spiritual need. If Jesus Christ were to pass by your life today and he were to say to you, Pete, spiritually, what do you want me to do for you? Would I know? Would you know? Would we know what our spiritual condition is? Do we have any spiritual blindness in our life? Do we have any spiritual leprosy in our life? Do we have any spiritual infirmity in our life? What is it spiritually that is hindering us from being all that we can be for Jesus Christ? And that's really the greater question. Are we in a place, as Bartimaeus was so clearly, to know what he wanted for himself spiritually, for physically? And yet he received so much more. Are we in the place where we know what our spiritual condition is, that if Jesus were to ask us, what do we want, could we tell him? Well, as in every case, God always has a greater picture in mind than we do. And we're told that Bartimaeus at that moment, when he received his sight, he came to Jesus and he began to follow Jesus and he began to glorify Jesus. And here you can see him with the same exuberance that he got up as a blind man and he ran to Jesus. And now he is leaping and he is telling people how fantastic this Jesus is and that truly he is the Messiah, truly he is the Son of David. And now, as Jesus himself made a clear statement to the crowd, the whole crowd is listening, he said, Bartimaeus, it is your faith that has made you well. And Bartimaeus, by his faith in Jesus Christ and calling Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Son of God, underscored very clearly to the crowd, there is no doubt this is Messiah. And without Bartimaeus knowing it, only hours later, They were going to crest the hill at Bethany, and there is the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to stop, and he's going to weep over this city because he knows that it is fixing to reject him. And yet the crowd knows who he is because of Bartimaeus. And it's because of Bartimaeus we have the beginnings of the triumphal entry. And the people start calling him King and God and Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus enters the city on the donkey as the Prince of Peace. And Bartimaeus' small little request became something that underscored the identity of Jesus Christ and created something far bigger than he ever dreamed would happen. And that is exactly what God does when we exercise faith. You see, we never know when the smallest thing that we're going to do is going to be used in a much bigger way by God. The question becomes then, where do you need to step forth in faith? What is the opportunity spiritually before you that God wants you to seize as Bartimaeus seized the opportunity? We have heard a marvelous report from Tom of people who have stepped in where they were and given. If they didn't have money, they gave time. If they didn't have time, they gave chairs and they gave pianos and they gave all kinds of things. And God, the glory to God has risen because of what small acts of faith are doing. Now, my friends, in my spiritual life, I just want to say one thing to you, and that is this, is that the Spirit of God moves sometimes in very significant ways, and other times he does not. That doesn't mean he isn't here. That doesn't mean he's not just as real. But there are some times when the Spirit of God moves in very special ways. And I think each one of you sense that God is moving in our midst right now in a very special way. But the realism tells me this, that even though God will continue to bless our church, that movement of spirit may not remain in the same way it is working right now. New things have a habit of becoming old. You have an opportunity at this time to seize the Spirit of God as he is moving in our midst. And you need to ask yourself the question, what has God placed in my life right now that I need to seize? What is my opportunity of faith right now in my own life personally? Do you need to take that final step and commit your life to Jesus Christ because you've not quite taken that step to yield fully to him? Do you need to quit playing Christianity in church and to say, I need to make some commitment of my time and my effort to becoming all that God wants me to be? I don't know how to do that, but I'm willing to ask and find out. Do you have a specific struggle in your home, in your marriage, where you work with a business partner, or in your job, and all you've been able to see is the problem of it rather than the opportunity that Jesus may be giving you an opportunity to exercise faith in a way you've never exercised faith before? Seize the opportunity. Move while the Spirit of God is moving. Today is the day of your salvation, the writer of Hebrews tells us. And realize that God has greater plans to use your need for his glory. And your small step, even though you might think it's confined just to your life, may do something that will bring greater glory to Jesus Christ than you ever dreamed. Because all of a sudden somebody at your office asks you, you seem different. And you have the opportunity to witness for your faith. And you have the opportunity to extend the transforming presence and power of the kingdom of God in this community and in this city and to this world, and to bring glory to our Father who is in heaven.